I actually ran against Morgan Griffith in the Republican primary 4 years ago when he first ran for office. And he won that election in the primary just by a few votes. Of course, it was done through a convention, not through a vote of the public. And at that time, you know, I felt like that Morgan would go to Washington and would, you know, actually represent the people of the 9th District in a conservative manner. However, I have just found over the last few years that his voting patterns have become more and more moderate, almost to liberal at times, and I've been very disappointed in that. I actually have retired about 4 years ago from business. I'm a retired insurance agent on an insurance agency in the area here where I live, and I just became very unhappy with politics in Washington. And I wrote a book a year and a half ago called The Modern Patriot, A Call to Action. And the book really is about the Constitution, what the founders intended, how the federal government has abused its power over the years, and what we can do to counter it. And when a number of people read this book, they said, Bill, you need to run for Congress. You know, you're exactly what we need up there right now. And so I decided to run. But I determined that the Democrats were not going to field a candidate this year. And whenever that came up, I decided to do it as an independent rather than running in the Republican primary again.
Would you consider yourself, William, a libertarian or a Tea Party, or do you consider yourself to the right of Morgan on a lot of issues?
I'm to the right of Morgan, but I'm not a I'm not a right-wing type Tea Party person. At this particular time, I'm not involved with any Tea Party. However, I will state that over the past several years, I have spoken to a number of Tea Parties. They especially like my book and you know, my concept of the Constitution. I'm a real constitutionalist. I'm not a libertarian. They have some philosophies and things that I just don't quite agree with. However, I am a fiscal conservative, which they are. And on social issues, though, they're a little bit more moderate than I am.
What would you, if you were to be elected, you know, what's the top one or two things that you'd want to address in Congress?
Well, there basically are three main issues. The number one issue to me is the budget and the deficit in the federal government. You know, right now we're spending over $500 billion a year, more than we take in. And our federal deficit, our debt has now approached $18 trillion. And when you look at the number of people in this country, 310 million or so, if you divide it into $18 trillion, you get about $55,000 per person. So essentially every person in the United States is $55,000 in debt due to the federal government. We cannot sustain that much longer and remain solvent as a country. And I'm just afraid that if we don't do something to balance the budget, that the country will default. And if that happens, we're going to lose all kinds of programs and benefits. I mean, you talk about Social Security, that will end. You talk about Medicare and Medicaid, that will end. Food stamp program will end. Any welfare assistance, not to even speak of the things that we have that are essential services to carry on the government. I just feel like if the government defaults, that we will go into a depression that will make the 1930s look like a party. Well, you know, basically, if we don't solve that problem, we're going to go under as a country, and I'm not sure what will happen then. It'll be just a tremendously difficult time for all of us, and I want to prevent that before we get there. That's the number one issue. Now, you asked me about a couple of others. I'll be brief with a couple of others. Education. Whenever the founders, you know, wrote the Constitution, they did not give the federal government any power at all concerning education. There were 36 powers that were delegated to the state. To the federal government. All others were left to the states or to the people. Education was one of the powers that was left to the states and the people. And I just feel like that if we don't get our education of our children back into the hands of the states and the people, that we're going to have serious problems. Basically, in school right now, they're being taught a socialist agenda. The basics of reading, writing, arithmetic, and science are being neglected, and we have fallen way behind other countries in the world in those areas. and we've got to get it back up again. And I think we need to turn education back over to the states where they can do a better job and forget the socialist agenda of the federal government with it. The last issue that I'll mention is the issue of federal government abuse. And there's just so much federal government abuse going on. But to me, the one that affects our district the most, and really the western part of the district more than the eastern part, is the EPA. Now, there is no basis. There's nothing in the Constitution that really gives any kind of a basis for the EPA to be even out there. The Constitution in Article 1, Section 1, it says, the legislative power shall be invested in a Congress that shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. And it doesn't say in an EPA. Yet the EPA is out there making laws and enforcing laws without the approval of Congress. And that's just something that should not be happening. The clean water and clean air should be the responsibility of the states. And if there's a disagreement between the states, then they can take it to federal court to be, you know, resolved. That's what the federal courts are for. But the EPA is destroying our coal industry. Of course, the administration of Obama is behind this, and he has vowed to implement the cap and trade bill administratively because the Senate will not agree to pass it. And that's what he's doing. We have proven over the last few years that coal can be burned cleanly. And in our country, we have 265 billion tons of coal right now. And we're using about a billion tons a year. That means we have over 200 years of coal still left at current usage levels. And because we can burn it clean now, we need to use it. We need to allow electric generating power plants to use coal. The cost of electricity doubles when you take coal out of the equation. And I feel like that the EPA, we should remove them from you know, the situation, that the states be back in control of things, and we should use our coal because it can be burned cleanly. And this will economically really be a boom to all of the coal-producing areas of the country if we were able to do this again.
Would you still advocate that we look to develop alternative sources of energy, looking to the future?
We definitely should try to develop alternative sources of energy, but at the same time, we need to use those that we already have. Now, I'll agree if coal was not able to be burned cleanly at this point, maybe it's something we shouldn't use, but it can be burned cleanly now. And I really, in my opinion, I think that this is an agenda that the federal government has to control us, to control the states and the people more than any other single thing. I don't think it's a matter of clean air as much as it is a matter of control.
What's your take on the war situation in the Middle East, and should Congress really weigh in? It almost seems like Congress is kind of shying away with the election coming up, which is not unusual. Well, what's your opinion on getting involved again in the Middle East and Iraq and Syria, and should Congress have more of a say in that?
Well, Congress should have, to me, most of the say in it. And you're right, they are shrinking from their responsibilities. Some of them are afraid to take a stand. This is a very serious problem, and it's not going to go away. We have to address it now. It's like the old advertisement, you either pay me now or you pay me later. If we don't do the job now, it's just going to grow in intensity. The problem is going to be much worse in the future than it is now. Simply bombing, I don't think, is going to do the job. I think that we should do bombing. I think that we should have a coalition of other nations to be involved with in this whole venture that we're going into. I really feel that before it's over, it is going to require ground troops in order to be able to do the job. And, you know, we don't want to put our troops in harm's way, but that's what they're for, when we need them to be able to go and do a job in a situation like that. I'm not advocating right now that we just go in with full force, but I feel like that in the near future we're going to have more incidences of ISIS, doing things. We may have things in this country that go on that involve ISIS, and if that happens, we need to go eliminate them before it becomes more of a threat.
Okay. Uh, have Do you have any plans to debate Morgan Griffith? Have you asked for a debate?
I have all kinds of plans to debate Morgan Griffith, but he's evading the issue. I don't think that he wants to be confronted with some of the issues. He has voted, for example, to give the EPA funding to continue their fight against the coal industry, yet he claims he's fighting the EPA. So you can't have it both ways. He has voted for the budget that will increase our debt to $20 trillion. So, you know, on the one hand, he says we need to put a stop to it, and yet he goes and votes for it. I don't think he wants to be confronted in a debate with those issues because he knows that I'm going to bring them up. He has stated to one group that I've asked to have a debate for us that he does not intend to debate me. But I wish somehow that we could force a debate because I really would like to debate him, yes.
You know, I mean, what you're doing, you face very long odds. I mean, William, what makes you think you could win? And did what Dave Bratt did to Eric Cantor give you any hope?
It gave me a lot of hope, and I think that whenever the people go to the polls, I hope to get votes from, because I'm running as an independent, I hope to get votes from independents, Democrats, and Republicans all. And if I get those votes the way that I'm hoping to get them, I can pull this election off. Now, I'm not going to have the money that Morgan Griffith has. I have not accepted money from PACs because I have found that there are strings attached, and I don't have a party backing me. So my campaign is a low-budget campaign, but we are reaching the people. I have talked to probably 4,000 people in the past several months, and I plan to talk to that many again before the election to get my message out. We're getting a lot of interviews on the radio. We're getting a lot of interviews in the newspapers, so we're making progress, and we will have some money for some ads on the radio. I don't think we'll have any TV ads, but the exposure, you know, I'm not that well known to people, but I hope that people will look at me as an alternative to what's going on in Washington, because I'm not a queer politician. I'm not aligned with a particular party, and I will vote for the betterment of the people of the 9th District.
What type of reaction are you getting from people on the road, people that maybe aren't enamored with Morgan? What type of reaction are you getting from people?
I'm getting a very good reaction. Most people who hear my views like my views. They feel like that, you know, I'm a person that could represent the district well. You know, I've told most people that whenever I look at a law, I'm going to apply three measures for it. One is, does it meet God's laws? The second is it constitutional? The third is it for the betterment of the people of the 9th District of Virginia? If it meets all three of those categories, then I'm for it. But if it fails in any one of them, then I'm opposed to it.